Welcome to DeFi Expectations. Today we have artist Hanny Corey with us to talk about an NFT drop that he is actually releasing today. Hanny, how you doing?
Not bad, you know, chilling. Pretty cool. So excited.
Excited awesome. To have you on. Yeah, definitely. And just reading through your bio, it seems like you've had quite the journey as an artist. Can you share some highlights from your life that made you the artist that you are today?
Yeah, so I grew up in a very conflict identity back home, you know, which is Palestine/Israel. So I'm one of the Palestinians who stayed in, like my family and myself, we are part of the Palestinian community who stayed in their land after the occupation. And, you know, I'm Catholic and we are 113 generations in the Holy Land. So growing up in that specific area with all the identity and the conflict that's happening, well, it's not a conflict, it's an occupation, basically. It shaped us differently. It made us look at the world and have a different perspective than other people. And it's a very materialistic world that I lived in that made me, you know, develop as an artist. And it was a tough journey for me growing up, because sometimes you would want to recognize yourself as a Palestinian, but it's tough, you know, it's hard because you're going to suffer from racism. You're not going to have anything, basically. So when I turned 19, I had a big fight with my family. And then that led for me to live in the streets of Jerusalem. So I lived in Jerusalem as a homeless for 2 years. And that actually had a huge impact on the way I look at the world, because just being in the street of Jerusalem and interacting with all the tourists that that's coming to visit Jerusalem from all over the world. And everybody has his own story, and everybody comes to Jerusalem for like his own spiritual journey. And I was literally living in the streets, interacting with those people. So that made me realize that the world is so big. The world is very different than where I came from, and I have to basically develop my personality and my identity to be more solid and to have more of a on track thing. So after having a tough 2 years in Jerusalem, I decided to be an artist, and then I started. Taking my education in Tel Aviv, and I suffered from being a Palestinian trying to take his education in a Israeli school. I had a lot of arguments with the professors, and then I kicked myself out from school, and then I continued taking my education at like a professional artist studio for a couple of years. Then back in 2015, I broke a Guinness World Record. I did the largest toast mosaic. And after that, I was disappointed, and I decided to move to Canada. 2017, I landed in Canada, and this is where my art journey actually blew up, because every time I was trying to make a sale or I was trying to show my work back home, they would look at my work in the galleries and they would be like, oh, this is a Palestinian artist. No, thank you, we're not interested. But in Canada, it's a very diverse, and they look at you as who you are, and they appreciate and respect your journey. And especially when you go through a lot, when you went through a lot in life, so they would appreciate it even more, because they would understand where it came from. So after that, I was presented by the Waldorf Hotel in Bethlehem for my first solo exhibition. So the Waldorf Hotel is basically it's Banksy's project, famous Banksy, because he started his art journey back in 2006 in Bethlehem, and he met this tourist guy. His name is Wissam Salsa, and they become friends. And Wissam is the only one who knows his real identity. So they decided to open up this project right beside the wall. It's called the Waldorf Hotel. It has 8 rooms. Everything is made by Banksy, tons of art pieces. And there's, in the middle of the hotel, there's this big art space to present Palestinian artists. And when Wissam Salsa got my art pieces, he sent it to Banksy, and they decided to host me for a solo exhibition. It was back in 2019. And they even decided to expand the exhibition from 1 month to 2 months, which is greatly unexpected. And I had a sold out show. Then my journey from blowing up as an artist actually started from there. After that, I've done another series, and it was presented last year in Edmonton, Alberta, where I live right now. And I had a sold out show. After that, Mark Hashem Gallery reached out to me, and then I signed up with them. So they are a very major gallery. They have three branches, one in Beirut, one in Paris, and one in New York. So I signed up with them for 3 years, including being participating with them in 12 art fairs around the world. And yeah, and then I got to like a very major collectors, like Gigi Hariri's father purchased an artwork from me. Don Lemon from CNN purchased 2 art pieces of mine. Terry Booth from Edmonton, he purchased like 3 pieces of mine. And then Mr. Ahmed Sirkal, he's one of the owners and founders of Dubai's Bank. And he's one of the shareholders and founders of Pepsi. And after that, I started getting my like more and more exposure, and I sold almost over 60 pieces to 60 major collectors around the world. Mm-hmm. And when the NFT world started blowing up, I decided to join and to be part of it, because I believe that this is a new industry and professional artists should step up and be part of it, because it's actually changing the way we look at the everything. So I've made a series of like a collection. It's called the La La Land Collection, and it talks about the unexisted Palestine, away from the occupation, away from the pain, away from the struggle, away from the injustice, and it has a full of like a dignity and powerful colors interacting with each other, like a celebration kind of. And then the way the figures move, they're like dancing free, having no borders, having no checkpoints, having so it's just it talks about the virtual space of the of like celebration, being alive, because you know it's very rare that we are alive. It's very rare. It's not very convenient. And the Palestinian people, they deserve justice, and they deserve justice and dignity for sure. So I just and I believe the artist has to be like, the artist basically creates art based on his journey and based on his own struggle, and this is what I'm bringing on the table. So overall, I sold 8 pieces till now. 7 of them sold for 1 Ethereum, and then I raised the price for 1.5 Ethereum. The eighth one was sold for 1.5 Ethereum, and now this one that it's in the auction, it's actually for 2 WEATH starting bid, and it's gonna be on for 15 days, and there's a lot of media stations following what's happening, because we're trying to bring in awareness for what's happening in Palestine right now. And it's called Window to Palestine. It's basically 2 art pieces sitting in top of each other. It's like there's a cube, there's a border, there's something stuck. And I just wanted to make sure that people understand what's going on in Palestine through contemporary art, which is very exciting.
So tell me a little bit about that. So you grew up in a small village in Palestine, and if I was reading your bio correct, it looks like there were times when your mother would even make paint from like dirt and flower petals, I believe it said.
Yes. So
is that kind of where you just develop the flexibility and creativity as an artist to produce different things? Because this collection is completely different than the collection you were talking about that you got a Guinness World Record for. You actually did a toast mosaic. So I guess, how would you say these different experiences in your life have like created your diversity of approach to art?
Yeah, so I believe that artists go through their journey, they experience, you know, they experience different types of materials, different types of canvases, different types of brushes, and then they develop brain-wise. They develop, they become more mature when they make them, when they make work. So at the early stages of any artist, he should master like hyper-realistic art pieces, my opinion. I don't know about other people, but what I did, I mastered actually hyper-realistic. So I have some pieces, when you look at the artwork, you're gonna be confused if it's a real artwork or it's a picture. So I mastered that style for 3-4 years. And then when you master the technique, and then when you master the perspective or the art, then you can create your own school, or you can start creating your own, develop your own style. So if you look at the development of my art pieces, it's going more to actually contemporary art, but like it looks like there's a style developing that not many art. Well, I don't know if there's any artist who's doing something like that, but those are my figures. Those are my colors. These are my world. So as time flies, I'm getting away from having a very, how can I say that? Like a very direct impact from major artists like Picasso and Salvador Dali and those ones, that they had a huge impact on me. And I'm developing to be more myself and creating my own style and creating. It's like taking everything, taking the education, mastering the technique, and interacting with different artists from all over the world, and then creating your own style based on your own journey, based on your own thoughts, based on your own pain, misery, happiness, whatever. So I think the last series, the NFT series slash canvases that I'm doing, it's bringing something very unique and different than anything in the market, I believe. So let's leave it to professionals and academic people to write about it, you know?
Yeah, excellent. Let me go ahead and play this video clip real quick.
World record holding artist Hanny Corey is finally coming to the crypto world. Winning a Guinness World Record in 2018, his collections have grown in interest around the globe with big name clients such as Gigi Hadid's father and the banks of Dubai. Now that global interest is coming to his new NFTs. After selling out his first 10 items in just a few minutes, he's bringing 400 more to the general public. All the info is found right here. World record. Record holding artist Hanny Corey is finally coming to the crypto.
And what was it like? What has made you decide to use Toast in your? It was a mosaic of Taha Muhammad Ali. I believe I'm pronouncing that right.
Yes, he's a Palestinian poet, and I actually. So the idea came from the as a Palestinian people, the whole world looks at the Palestinian people as people who are they're fighting for their rights, and some people think of them like tourists. Which is, I don't know if you fight for your right in your own land that you lived in for centuries, how is it tourism and anti-Semitic? I don't know how is that, you know, but we know who controls the media and we know how things are going in the media. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I just wanted to actually send a message among the media saying that, hey, I'm a Palestinian, and guess what? I'm sending a message like an international global message about the hunger, the people who dies from hunger every day. There's over 100,000 people die from hunger every day, every 24 hours. So what I wanted to do is to send that message. So I gathered the bread from different restaurants. It's expired. You can't eat it anymore. And I took this poet he suffered from the occupation. Like his father was killed in 1948. And his poet is so strong about forgiving and about moving on in your life, and about how if he met the person who killed his father, if, like, this is how he say it. So if he met the person that killed his father, and this person has a mother that cares about him, I'm not gonna kill him. If I met him and he has a wife that cares about him, I'm not gonna kill him. If I met him and there's a son or a girl that cares about him, I'm not gonna kill him. If he's passionate about life, I'm not gonna kill him. If he has a friend that cares about him, I'm not gonna kill him. If he has a cousin that cares about him, I'm not gonna kill him. So his poet is so strong He's an amazing poet, and not many people know about him, even in my culture, in the Palestinian culture. So I decided to just make the people look at his poets and appreciate it more, and understand the perspective, because this perspective can basically change everything in my homeland.
Absolutely, that's super cool.
I was wondering, how hard was it to actually leave Palestine, like physically and mentally?
Oh, it's very hard. And you know, when I first arrived to Canada, because it's so quiet in here, and we're used to like an action every day, you know, because we live on top of each other. If you look at our neighborhoods, you gotta be shocked, because, you know, I live in occupied Palestine, so I have the Israeli citizenship. A Palestinian who owns the Israeli citizenship. We live, like, my village is right beside Tiberias, and you know, the Israeli government, they don't give us we're not first class citizens. We're not even 10th class citizens. So if you go like to the villages, the Jewish villages and the Arab village, the Palestinian villages inside of Israel, you're going to see the huge difference between the structure, the infrastructure, the way the buildings are, the way everything is built between this village and this village. This is for Jewish people, this is for Palestinian people. You would see a huge difference. So we live on top of each other. It's very impact. It's very strict. Everybody is living on top. There's no privacy. And there's a huge piece of land around the village that we can build on. And we own this land, but we don't have a permission to build in this land. Like, you will own your own land, but the Israeli government wouldn't allow you to build in this land. They would say, like, this land is not for building on. So we keep building on top of each other, 3-4 houses on top of each other. We'll just cut the house for two people, so two families can live in one house, because we don't have the permission to build new houses. So since 1948 till now, over 13,000 new villages were opened for Jewish people in Israel/Palestine, but not even one new village for Palestinian people.
Mm.
Not even one. And we're almost, the community is 2.1 million people. So if you just Google Nazareth, where Jesus was raised, you're gonna be shocked that this is an international city. This is where Jesus was raised. But because it's their Palestinian who lives there, and they've been living there for centuries, and basically, but they don't give them any new pieces of land to build on. They don't give them anything. So you would see living on top of, so me coming to Canada from that place with the quietness. So I didn't know what an anxiety is before I came to Canada. I didn't know what is panic attack when I first came to Canada, because you literally get out of the storm and you think from the inside, you start taking everything that you went through from the inside to the inside. So all the political, the economical struggles, the political struggles, the fear, everything goes away, and you're focused on yourself now. So you have to observe 25 years of your life that you wasn't, there's no awareness. Because you're inside of the storm, you're like getting beating for 25 years, and then all of a sudden you're free. You're in a place where you have your own time. You don't feel like you could be killed. Like, one of my friends was killed because he spoke Arabic in the bus. Like, a lot of my friends got killed because they're Palestinian, just for no reason. Because, oh, you're Palestinian, I'm gonna kill you. That's it. So
it's terrible.
Being in Canada, it is terrible. It's fucked. And don't get me wrong, I have a lot of Jewish friends that I respect and I love, a lot of them. And there's a big difference between Jewish people and between Zionists. There's a huge difference, because mm-hmm. back in, before 1948, Jewish people lived, there's Jewish people who lived in Palestine for centuries, and they recognized themselves as a Palestinian Jewish people. And you can Google Naturi Karta, you can Google it. So basically those are Jewish Palestinians, and they actually fight for the Palestinian right, and they don't even recognize Israel as a accomplished state. And the government of Israel, they're against them, and they fight and they shut them up even more than they go aggressive against them more than the Palestinians. And they're Jewish Palestinian people, and they are proud of it, you know. So no, there's a big difference between being a Jewish and then between being Zionist. Jewish Judaism is something. It's a religion. Anybody could be Jewish, but Zionist is basically being racist. You know, this is it's exactly what it is. Zionist is having accomplishing the state of Israel on top of like on the cause on the right of the Palestinian people, killing them, doing an ethnic cleansing, kicking them out of their houses, killing them. And then occupied their land and not allowing them to have any rights, basically. And it keeps happening for 70 years now, and even more, 75 years. This is what's happening in Palestine now.
When you came to Canada, did you come up with family, and have your family always been supportive of your art?
Oh, 100%. So I have two aunties and two uncles here in Canada. My family, they still live back home because, you know, they have grandchildren and they have friends, and it's hard for them to move a country just because of me. But my family has been always support. Like, they don't know exactly what it is. Like, they don't know how it works, but they know I'm doing good, and they support me for just doing it, for being an artist.
Is art like a respected career in that culture? Because when we were talking with someone we interviewed a couple days ago, actually. Yeah, he's from Asian descent, and they do not value art very much over there. And it's not really they don't value art, they just don't take it seriously as a career option to make money. So it's pretty common, I feel like, that artists are pretty heavily looked down upon in that regard.
Well, basically, actually, you know, back in 2014, when Christie's Auction House opened up in Dubai, they dealt with the Mediterranean artwork and with the history of the Mediterranean art pieces, because, you know, if you look at all of the European museums and the major museums around the world, they didn't actually appreciate it, or they didn't give a value for the Mediterranean art for centuries. They were like left behind. But Christie's decided to step up for the artists in the Middle East, and then put them in the map. And when you see the history of the, let's say, the Palestinian people, or the history of the art in Syria or Iraq or Libya, so you're gonna be shocked that there were artists actually as good as Picasso and the history. They were good artists as good as Salvador Dali at their period, I'm talking. Mm-hmm. So since 2015, the artwork, because, you know, there's a major collectors in Dubai and in the UEA, and then in Saudi Arabia, and there's a lot of money involved. So it actually pushed the industry very well. And then since 2015, I think we're doing amazing in the Middle East and in Palestine. Like, Palestinian, there are artists in Palestine that they work for over $1 million in the auction houses. So it's pretty good, you know?
That's good.
There's galleries, there's an industry, there's a lot of collectors. And I believe when I came to Canada and I developed what I developed in the past 3 years, 4 years, I become more respected in my culture, if I may say. Which is sad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is sad that you have to leave and to make other people appreciate your art. You can get appreciated by your own people. Yeah. But I believe now there are some collectors fighting to hold one of my canvases in Palestine, which is great.
So getting into the NFT space, not a lot of people who do art for the NFT space do that as like actual paintings, which it looks like these are. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's something I see a little bit here and there, but it's, you know, it's usually digital artists. So did you consider doing any kind of digital art, or do you have any experience doing that? Or were you always paintings?
I do, but I believe that, you know, everything that you see in the NFT in my account, it's based on 4 pieces, I believe. four actual pieces on canvas. So taking the figures and changing the figures in the Illustrator, and then playing with it in that After Effects, it actually makes it like a digital artwork. It's figures are there in the canvas, but now it's different with the movement, with the shapes, with the with different colors, with the. So I believe it's not, because I'm not taking an actual picture for the artwork, and I listed directly to OpenSea as the NFT. So when the artwork goes into the Illustrator and After Effects program, and I play with it, so it become a different art piece. It's not the same as the canvas.
Gotcha.
So this one changed colors.
So then you do have the originals still, correct?
Yes.
And what happens with those?
So the original are separate and different from the NFTs, as I told you, because when I play with it in the Illustrator and with the After Effect, it become a different art piece. It's not like one-to-one to the original. It's not the picture of the artwork. It becomes something new.
Uh-huh.
So the actual canvas goes to Mark Hashem, to my gallery, so and they list it in their platforms online / their branches, their galleries in three different locations / they take the art pieces to art fairs. So the actual canvas is actually their value based on the size. They go between $6,500 to $25,000. Depends on the size.
What's the largest one you've done? I'm assuming the toast, technically.
Yes, the toast, technically. But I've done some 2.5 meter by 1.9 meter, something that big.
And you know what? That brings up something else that I had. So looking at some of the names of these, I'm wondering exactly, because you said that these are, you know, representations of Palestine in certain ways.
Yes. Yeah.
So I've noticed that you have like exactly right here. So you have Epic Dose.
Yeah.
I noticed that you have mushrooms. I noticed you have ayahuasca. So are you into psychedelics then?
Yeah, I actually I've done some ayahuasca.
How was that?
Yeah. No. Well, it's different experience because it opens your eyes on a different world. It opens your eyes, definitely. I don't recommend it to anyone, though. No one. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's something I've definitely wanted to try. Hasn't happened.
I don't recommend it.
No?
No. I will go tomorrow and do it again, but I wouldn't recommend it to anyone.
That's fair.
It's one thing I learned. It's like you're recommending death to someone, basically. No. If you want to die, you walk to it by your choice, by your own choice. But that's amazing that you actually recognize that, you know, there's some ayahuasca.
Oh, yeah.
Influence.
Pretty well versed.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So what inspired the name Wopa Land? What does that mean?
So the series is La La Land. You know, the La La Land is the unexisted land. It's the imagination land. So I wanted to give a name for the account that makes it, you know, the first impression when you say Opa for something, you know? So it's like the Opa Land.
I get you. And then what about each of these individual pieces? Are each of them like a different feeling or a different, like, how would you describe them in the context of the series?
So I believe every time you look at one of the art pieces and you just stare at it, it will give you a different feeling instantly. So art is about how you absorb it. So everybody has its own experience observing art pieces. Me as the successful artist, I believe a successful artist who can make the artwork very open, so everybody can take it to his own struggle, experience, journey, whatever.
So having expressed yourself so many different ways as an artist, what would you say interests you in particular about NFTs at this point? And what do you think about like NFTs role and how maybe they can help artists?
So first of all, I'm so impressed because look at it. Do you know the industry itself, the art industry itself, it has over $100 billion sales every year. Like between the auction houses, galleries around the world, art fairs, whatever. And if you look at the collectors and the people who appreciate art, it was more for the high society or whatever, high class people, high society, whatever you want to call it. And because it was very closed and it was very academic and it was very directed to this specific, those specific like level of people. So the NFT world had opened everybody's eyes to appreciate art and to understand it and to actually collect it. So you would see a 19 years old kid, I'm not gonna say kid, 19 years old, that made some money in crypto and now he's buying NFTs. And if you look at his life and the way he's gonna live in the next 7 years, he was never gonna think of owning an art piece in his life, right? Yeah. And a lot of them are like that. But now, because of the NFT, now they're buying art. They're buying an NFT. Now they're buying an NFT as an investment. They're buying an NFT because it's cool. It's blowing up. But with time, you're going to see a lot of people, they just want to own the art piece because they appreciate it, because they appreciate the artist, because they understand how the artist created it, who's the artist behind this art piece. So they would want to hold the art piece, not because they want to make money, but because they want to appreciate it. When the NFT world gets to that level, and a lot of people start thinking this way, this is when more serious artists are going to step in into the NFT. Because now, if you look at it, it's very chaotic. Mm-hmm. And the NFT is basically for everything. It could be for a house in the future. It could be for a car, not only artwork. An NFT is like the identity, the specific identity, the virtual identity for this specific item. Like, this is your authentication certificate owning this. So with time, what's going to happen is this chaotic world, this chaotic industry is going to be more tuned. It's like how back in the days when the internet was invented, it was very chaotic. Everyone was trying to do something with it. Mm-hmm. But with time, Google succeeded, Facebook succeeded, this succeeded. So the NFT world now is very chaotic. We're still very early on the NFT world. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that we see right now, they're not going to hold. There, like, a lot of punks, a lot of even NFT like art pieces are you're gonna spend 20 Ethereum on it and to be able to make money, and it's not gonna sell anymore, and you're gonna lose your 20 Ethereum. You're gonna own the artwork, and you never know because everything has a level, like high level, that has it. So that's why I recommend, not necessarily my artwork, not necessarily my NFTs. But it's better when you buy an artwork or an NFT from a well-established artist. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you're buying a video art as an NFT. And if you can't resell it at OpenSea and you hold it, and it's not selling at OpenSea, you can hold it for 5 years, 10 years, and then you can take it and sell it at Christie's Auction House, Sotheby's Auction House, Bonham's Auction House. So this is when your investment is more solid. When the serious collectors and the art, the academic art industry, as the galleries / serious collectors / auction houses, they recognize this artist as a major artist that has an impact on the art, on the artists, on the art industry. So everything is blowing up. It's nice. I think it's like, I'm not one of those, oh, this is bullshit. Like, look at this. Like, what is this art piece? This is so bullshit. Like, this is not even art. Okay, I know it's not even art. But it's cool that someone makes money off just a stupid sketch, whatever. it's just cool. I see it as a cool thing. But now there's an education part, and the NFT world is going to be developed even more and more every day. And people are going to start to understand that if I want to make an investment, even if it's a longer term investment or a short term investment, I would prefer to buy a serious artwork from a serious artist.
When you're saying that, yeah, I think it was just yesterday, actually, I heard that Jeff Koons is planning on starting to release some NFTs. So that'll be an interesting little endeavor.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, which is, I recommend that every professional artist steps into the NFT world because, you know, some people has to just start looking at the differences, you know, mm-hmm. between this and that and this and that, you know. That's what I believe. So
was there anything particularly challenging about becoming an NFT artist when you initially like decided to look into doing NFTs as art, such as like learning how to do drops or growing a community? Were there any initial challenges?
Well, I believe that, you know, I have an agency that I'm signed up with. They helped a lot with it. And because I have a lot of followers on social media platforms, like I have 40,000 on Instagram. I have 80,000 on my Facebook page, and I have almost 40,000 on my personal Facebook. So when I announced that I'm doing an NFT, so a lot of people tried to help, send me tips. I believe it was very chilling. Yeah, so it's easier for you as a established artist that's good in the market, mm-hmm. doing good in the art industry, and you're stepping into the NFT world. I think you're gonna get a lot of help. And then one thing, and it's very interesting, as I figured, because if you go and if you look at the collectors who purchased my work, so you would see that they just opened the account. They have no NFTs in their account except mine.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was wondering too, is like, do you feel that the people who are buying your NFTs are more from the standard art market and you're kind of transitioning them over to the digital?
Well, actually, I know most of the people because they reach out after, like, I purchased your artwork, which is cool. Those are serious. And this is something, because I posted something in the NFT collectors page on Facebook, and people said like, oh, this person just opened up an account and he just purchased your artwork. This is so stupid, blah, blah, blah. This is not legit. And I'm like, but guess what? I'm a well-established artist. There are collectors that purchased my art pieces from before, and they were never, ever going to go into the NFT world to purchase an artwork. But because I am in the NFT world, now they opened up their MetaMask wallet. They transferred Ethereum. They opened up OpenSea account just to own my work. So I'm bringing serious collectors to the art industry. And I'm bringing more money to the art industry, to the NFT industry. So today they bought my artwork. Tomorrow they're going to like something else in the art industry. And it could be your artworks, or fuck off.
That's pretty awesome, actually. You know, like, that's realistically, for someone who doesn't have any experience in the DeFi and crypto, that's a big pain in the ass to do everything. Yes. Like that. Like,
yeah, that was
setting up a MetaMask, buying the Ethereum, possibly waiting the entire time to get it transferred. Like, that takes some effort.
Yes. Yeah, it takes a lot of effort. It's not easy. Trust me. I know. Some collectors were more pain in the ass. Okay, honey, how do I do that? Okay, click there. But you know, I don't know. And then it took me hours just to help them to set it up, but now they're doing better.
That's awesome.
Which I think it's cool. If a professional artist steps into the NFT world, now more professional collectors and more money in the NFT world. So why not, you know?
That makes it like a little bit more special too, because they, you know, you actually helped them through that whole process to get that.
Exactly.
So it's like,
exactly.
It's got a really personalized attribute to it that you can't really, you know, you can't mark that on it. It's just something that matters to them.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
Probably make them want to hold it longer too.
100%. 100%. No, some people purchased my NFT and they were never ever thinking to resell it.
I don't think any of them are listed for sale, are they?
No, there's one. It's going for a virtual museum. an NFT museum that someone is running, and they purchased the art piece just out of the museum, which is just so cool, I believe.
So do you buy NFTs from other artists?
Yes, I actually do. Actually, I give some giveaway on my Twitter, like money, like Ethereum. I've done it before. Mm-hmm. And I purchased a lot of NFTs, but I have them hidden in my collection. Like I have, I think, 23, and there's a few that's showing. Yeah, so what I do is every time I sell, I buy. I support different artists.
I've noticed a lot of the artists who do that too. They're like, I just sold something, so I'm going to buy like two or three pieces, post what you got.
Yeah, because I believe that you have to bring back to the community because the community is supporting you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So why not? You know, it's just cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, maybe just buying an art piece from someone for like $500, maybe it's going to change his life. You know, never know. Some people, I purchased their work, like they live in countries that $500 for them could live like 3 months on $500.
Oh yeah, I mean, $500 in a lot of countries is like, you know, that's top earner CEO type stuff.
Exactly. So for me, yeah. So I choose some of those people to buy their NFTs and then just support them and support their families. Why not? No. Mm-hmm. It's all about bringing the word together to be just one place, you know, just one happy place that we can have more of an equality and, you know, for everyone, because everybody deserves it, I believe.
When you are buying those, do you have anything in particular you look for? Like, are you into abstracts, or do you have any generative art or anything like that? Or what exactly?
I bought literally everything. I bought everything, basically. Every style that you can imagine. I bought cards. I bought punks. I bought, like, abstract. I bought everything. It's not about the thing. For me, it's not about the NFT itself. It's about who's behind the NFT.
Yeah.
That's what makes me buying it. And I don't buy it because I want to resell it. I just buy it because to support the artist behind it or the person behind it.
Yeah. I think that is a really important factor. And the more that I get into NFTs, the more I'm seeing that it's really important to know your team and, you know, see what their vision really is. Like, is it deeper than just making money or making a quick...
It's about the cause. Like something that I didn't tell anyone yet, because I just want to sell like 300-400 NFTs and then announce that, but I'm just going to announce it here right now. So what I want to do is after making a lot of sales, actually I'm going to donate tons of money to human rights organizations back in Palestine.
Nice.
That's what I'm planning to do. And awesome. Lebanon, probably. And Lebanon.
Are you involved in any DeFi projects, or are you mainly just focused on art?
Well, I'm actually focused on art because I have a lot on my plate as an artist. So now I'm doing like some huge art pieces for a very big project, and there's another thing that I'm doing is one of the art pieces I'm creating in a virtual space. The virtual space is going to be the art piece. So you know this, the Facebook thing that you put it in your eyes and then you go into your virtual world, what it's called?
Again? Oculus.
Yes. So I'm creating a space where you can walk into the art piece. So there is no space. It's it's a virtual world. So it's kind of the same figures that you see in my paintings, but they're in 3D. And they're installed in the space in a very big, like big figures, like 10 times bigger than human size. And it's a huge space. So you're gonna walk into the space by putting those glasses. And you're gonna move around, you're gonna move your head, and everything is gonna be like a 3D high resolution in front of you. And they're gonna be like moving and dancing and going up and down, kind of. And you can like be in my head, my world. And then I'm gonna sell the figure itself. So every figure, it's gonna have its own owner, its own price as an NFT. If you got what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
pretty. So you're gonna walk into the space, and you can push or click or you can click on any figure and the figure could say like, this is the owner of this figure. This is who he is. This is how much he purchased it for. And maybe he can leave a message. He can say something about my artwork, or maybe he can just say, fuck you, whatever. He can see what he's saying, you know, about everything. Like, he can leave. He can put secrets. He can hold anything. He can put his will. I don't know. But I think it's just cool, you know, to still that space, like, by figure.
So I guess my last question is, do you want to talk about anything specific with Window to Palestine? You just dropped that, what, probably 3 or 4 hours ago, I'm thinking now?
Yes, yeah. So I believe that Window for Palestine is basically, I think it's not about the artwork itself, it's about the cause behind it. So it's good that you Google what's happening in Palestine right now and what has been happening since the start of 2020, because things has blown up and a lot of people got killed. A lot of people got their houses got destroyed. They were kicked out of their land. They were kicked out of their houses, and the occupation continues. It's not about what happened in 1948, you know. One of my friends asked me, would you ever forgive? And then I told him, you can't forgive until the beating stops. So if someone is beating you and you're bleeding, and he keeps doing that every second, you can't just ask him to forgive you if you keep beating him. So the occupation has an end. I'm not saying that the end of the occupation has to be by anybody getting hurt, you know? We can just come up with justice and for everyone, and then we can actually work it out. So yeah. Window for Palestine is about that. It's about showing the like, just open your window to what's happening in Palestine. Open your eyes, listen, interact, because it's very important for me. And art isn't a beautiful art piece that you install on your wall. Artwork has a meaning, has to make you feel something, has to make you to get your attention for something.
Yeah. Do you collect a lot of physical work as well?
Yes, I have a huge art collection, actually. yeah, I have over $500,000 art collection, I believe.
Wow.
That's wow. Awesome.
Yeah. No, I keep supporting other artists, like, in the last 5 years. That's like, awesome. I sell and buy and sell and buy because, you know, why not? Why not, you know?
Yeah.
It's not about just gaining a lot of money and living in your own castle. It's not about that. It's about, you know, we live once and then you get help and then you have to help other people.
Yeah. I'm a big like art collector as well. It's one of the few things I actually spend my money on.
That's amazing.
It's just like, especially, you know, like I said earlier, it's really hard because the creative arts.
You collect in actual art pieces or just NFTs?
Oh no, creative. Yeah, like the my whole house is just decked out in art. Like,
nice.
Yeah, I prefer to buy originals if possible.
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult and it's hard because like trying to buy from other countries, it gets difficult just because of the shipping yeah. cost and stuff.
Where do you live?
I am in Nevada.
Nevada.
I'm both Nevada base.
Nevada base. Yeah. That is so funny. That's amazing. Yeah. You know what? Just shoot me a DM me on Twitter or Instagram and let's chat more about it. I would like to see your collection.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah, do you have anything else to say? I think that's everything I have.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. And just keep inspiring the work.
All right. I'm glad we were able to make this happen. And good luck with your drop.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much. Let's hope we broke a record by selling this work.
That'd be awesome.
Sounds good.
All right. You have a great day.
Okay, guys. Have a great one. We'll keep in touch.
Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.